It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
The blog was never about getting a job. It was about creating a name for myself and owning my work. I think when you start doing these internships and you start working at these companies and say they let you go, or you know, after 2 weeks your internship is done, you've contributed to their bottom line. You've contributed to their SEO and their, you know, like traffic for that week. And you know, you have a couple of things to show for it, but where do you put that?
Hi, welcome to Blacktaculate, a podcast series featuring UK young black professionals, where we find out how they do what they do, so you can too. Or not. After all, it is your life. Phoebe Parks, say hi.
Hello.
Am I saying that right? Phoebe Parks.
It's Phoebe Park with
Park,
no S. Yes.
Okay, well, hey, welcome to Blacktaculate. First and
Thank
foremost,
you.
Actually... I need to say, for those of you, if this is the first time you're joining us because you saw the guest, bastards. No, I'm joking. I always appreciate any new listeners. So we are Blacktaculate, and Blacktaculate is simple. We feature young UK black professionals where we try and find out exactly how they do what they do so you can too. Phoebe, please tell the powers that be, my listeners, who you are, what you do, and we'll just chop it up from there, if that's cool.
Okay, so my name is Phoebe Park. I am a social media editor, a journalist, and one quarter of the Receipts podcast, which is a UK podcast fronted by four women, where we talk about relationships, dating, men being trash.
Wow.
And then sometimes like career.
I'm sat right here as well.
I have to be honest.
She looked me dead in the eye as well. She went, men being trash. Wow. Okay, it's going to be fire this. I could tell. Okay, so Phoebe, you actually mentioned quite a few hats. And I guess that is really quite typical for millennials as well, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Especially in London, man. We hustle. We do multiple things.
Side hustles, main hustles.
Yeah.
You know. Extra hustles.
Main chick, side chick, etc. Now,
the men are trash,
that.
Exactly.
I won't even get into that because that is your remit and that's not Blacktaculate. Fundamentally, you do a lot of things, but they do all revolve around communication and media, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
How did you start and why media and communication, like growing up? Let me know.
So I think I always knew I wanted to be a journalist, but I didn't know the name for it, so I was always
wait a minute, how did you know you always wanted to be a journalist?
I don't know, I think I always wanted to tell stories, and that's technically what journalism is,
right.
But I didn't know how to communicate that, I guess, at a young age. But I was always into storytelling, reading, writing, English literature. So I did a degree in German and English literature.
German.
I know.
Okay.
I knew that was gonna be a moment. It always is.
So my
my degree was English and German literature at the University of Warwick, and so it was like a 50-50 split, half German and half English literature.
Right.
There was also a focus in the German side of things on German literature as well. There was lots of reading, basically.
Can I park you for a second?
You may park me.
Are you fluent?
I was nearly fluent.
What do you mean nearly?
Because the thing is, it's like a muscle. If you don't speak German, you lose it until you hear something and then you start speaking again.
So if you were to be thrown in the heart of Berlin, you'd be all right there.
You know, a lot of Germans speak English, which was part of the problem. But okay. If I was thrown into rural Germany, I could get by. And it comes back to you once you start speaking and things like that. So
Okay.
Yeah.
So apologies, I did derail you. You were saying journalism, you always wanted to tell stories.
Yeah, always wanted to tell stories. Did that undergraduate degree.
At Warwick.
At Warwick, yeah. And then I think kind of in my final year, I realised I want to be a journalist because I'd been blogging,
okay.
Which was the in thing back then. Yeah. Not that it's not now, but you know, it was really booming then. So I, do you remember a website called Pabst?
I don't.
You don't? Okay. Too niche.
No, no, well, hold tight. What was Pabst?
Oh, Pabst was, I really hope some of the listeners will remember Pabst because it was an amazing site. Basically, like urban gossip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before urban was like a really cliche word, yeah. Like UK before urban.
Gossip. And yeah.
Well, it was the UK version of Worldstar.
Okay.
So it was like people like Lady Leisha, Tiny Temper, whenever they would like tweet something, do something, that was where we wrote about it.
Right.
And I was like head of the fashion section. So, you know, those like very basic hot or not things,
yes.
But with UK celebs.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I remember that. Hot or not. Jeez, yeah. That was huge.
That's what I was doing during my university years. And I kind of realized, yeah, this is definitely what I want to do.
Right.
So I did my master's in journalism.
Okay.
Yeah.
Phoebe, I don't know if it's fair for me to say this, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but you seem like you're someone who's very focused. You know exactly what you want, and then you sort of go out and get that.
Mm.
Was that always the case? Like your upbringing, you need to tell me more. I mean, you're mixed, right?
Yes. My mum is Jamaican, black, and my dad is originally from Newcastle, actually. But he's white, British.
Gotcha.
As they say on the forms.
What was growing up like? Do you have any stories, any fun memories, anything that really started shaping you to who you are? You see what I'm trying to get with this? I'm trying to join some dots.
I do.
Who
I
is
like it.
Phoebe?
I think one thing I always remember about growing up is there was always a newspaper around.
Okay.
Which it's usually The Guardian, which I think really shaped the way...
That's highbrow stuff, isn't it?
I think really shaped the way, you know, like dinner table conversations. I've got two older sisters.
Right.
So dinner table conversations were very adult. Like my middle sister is 6 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
So everyone's an adult at the table and I'm the baby.
Right.
So it's either you find out what they're talking about when they're talking about like housing, Tony Blair, riots, like protests, Iraq, either you figure out what they're talking about or you sit there and eat your food.
Yeah.
So I think you kind of, even if you heard about something, then you go and Google it in your spare time, or you obviously ask your parents, who's Tony Blair, like what is happening? You know, if they're watching the news, they've got the news on the radio, you absorb some of that. And then both my parents are teachers, so there was always a task to do. There was always, you know, oh, just read this and tell me the key points. And it's like, it's a Saturday. I'm trying to like enjoy my baked beans and planting or whatever I'm having. So there was always some comprehension to do. There was always like underline all the adjectives in this Guardian article.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Always. So I think that's where like my love of words came from. And we didn't really watch TV that much. People now tell me about like all the things I miss. So whenever you guys are talking about like references on Twitter,
right.
I have no idea. We're talking about Proud Family. Never seen it. I saw Fresh Prince of Bel-Air because it was on Channel 2. But but that's literally it. So I'm grateful now that I spent so much time building my vocabulary and reading and writing. But at the time, it was kind of like, oh, everyone's talking about this new MTV video and I haven't seen it.
Then that in itself is quite interesting because obviously you're quite studious because your household was quite academic.
Yeah.
Parents are teachers. Mm. And you've got elder siblings, two sisters, one is 6 years older and the other is
9 years older.
Okay.
There's an adult home.
Yeah, so it seems.
Yeah.
You tight with them? You close?
Yeah, really close. I think it's different because there's obviously an age gap. But I think that's why people think I'm older than I am, because I act like my sisters,
right,
who are like in their 30s and I'm like 26. But compared to people who are my age, I definitely act like 30-year-old.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, yeah. If your family was older than you were, then naturally that's the things that you're going to inherit, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I now get the journalism side, trying to just ensure... English and just underlining adjectives, good lord.
Yeah.
That's a fun
I still think that's a fun task now, but maybe I shouldn't share that with you.
No, good times. So we're fast forwarding, we're in primary school, just being a rugrat, doing your thing, enjoying life, and then you started thinking career-wise, journalism, but you didn't know what it was called.
Yeah.
And then when you finished A-levels, at that time, I guess you started to have a better understanding.
Yeah, I think I knew I wanted to read books, basically, and then right. English literature degree allowed me to read books,
right.
You know, weekly. And I'd studied German in school, so I had like a basic understanding. And at that time, all the advice was do a language. It will set you apart from the others. Right. And I think it does. I think just the discipline of learning a language is really important, because when we're kind of like taught English, we're not taught about what the names of lots of things are. We have our adjectives and things like that. We're not really taught about tenses.
No, you're right.
And
you're right.
So when it comes, that's why I think English people are quite bad at learning other languages, because we just don't know what things are called.
Yeah.
And people are talking about, you know, the gender of different words, and we don't have that in English. So I think that's a really great skill. And if you learn one language, they said, you'll be able to learn others easier. I haven't. But
not yet.
Not yet. There's time.
Definitely a lot of time.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm with you. So like,
I'm glad.
I'm glad you're glad. Hope the listeners also with us. Whilst at uni, were you doing freelance blogging?
Yeah.
Like, does your blog still exist?
My blog does still exist.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah. I was blogging. I was working for Paps at that time, so that was like my blogging outlet. Then I hadn't started my personal blog yet. I didn't even have a website yet, I don't think.
Okay.
But I was working for other people. I was doing, when I did my master's, I did lots of like internships, 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there. Like Pride magazine was a great one.
Amazing.
Black Beauty and Hair magazine was a great one. Telegraph was a great one, on the books desk. Woo.
How are you getting all of these?
I think it was a lot easier back then.
Okay.
Because I just wrote to them and said, hi, I'm doing a master's in journalism. I would love to come in. And I would only do like 1 week, 2 weeks. And they have people on, you know, they need an intern or work experience person at all times. I think magazines really rely on interns and work experience people.
Right, gotcha. What do they do, these interns and work experience?
You know, it depends from place to place. But the Telegraph, I got to write each day. Okay. I had something printed in the paper.
What?
Because
it's amazing.
Exactly, yeah. So whenever there's a gap, you know, if you show that you're willing and you're good at what you do, then they really do rely on interns.
Gotcha. I guess it's not paid as well though, right?
Well, that's why I did it for 2 weeks. Because it was kind of in the Easter holidays or in the Christmas holidays. I wouldn't have been earning money anyway, so I could kind of like go and do that. But if you have a job, it's kind of impossible for you to say, I'm going to take 2 weeks off to go and work at the Telegraph or go and intern at the Telegraph. It's just not really realistic.
What advice would you give then?
So, funny you ask.
Why are you saying it like that?
I was hoping I'd get to mention this. So when I finished my master's, I got one of those emails, and I always ignore emails, but I didn't ignore this one. Mm. And it was from Creative Access. And they're
a great platform, aren't
they? So this is why I'm happy that you asked. So Creative Access is a charity that its main aim is to get more people of color into the media.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the creative arts. So I got an email from them. They said, come to Channel 4 and have a workshop with us and we'll tell you, you know, some things about what we do. Went along because they said Channel 4 building. So I was like, okay, I'm going to take a picture outside. So it's definitely that. Where I want to go. So went and found out like some opportunities on their website, applied to one newspaper that I didn't get, but then they
you didn't want to name a shame, did you? Wow, you are media trained. Phoebe really was on the flow, and then she just like paused. I was like, what?
At a newspaper that will remain nameless. And then Josie, who is the one of the founders of Creative Access, emailed me and said, hey, you know that thing you applied for, you didn't get it, but this is another one you should apply for. So I applied for one, and it was at CNN. And I got my 3-month internship there, paid.
Amazing.
because that's all creative access offers. They are all paid internships, and I think the minimum time you can do an internship for is 3 months, which is so great, because then you actually get bylines, you actually get to meet people, and right. You actually see what the company's like.
Just for those who don't know what byline is.
Oh, your name at the top of an article.
Awesome.
Basically.
There you go. Credits.
Credits.
There you go.
Receipts.
Yeah, receipts. Oh, wow. What a plug. What a plug.
Credit.
No. Yeah. Okay, amazing. So creative access really were a catalyst for your career
path.
But prior to that, you're still doing a lot of work experience. Yeah. You know, you're still getting your work out. Mm-hmm. You still had a blog that was predominantly focused around fashion, was it?
So my blog was, funnily enough, relationships and dating, which I seem to kind of be obsessed with, despite the fact that I don't do much of it. But I had my blog, like I had these, it was just so fun for me to write about something that was kind of tongue-in-cheek and funny. So I would write things like, you know, the best date locations in London, that aren't Nando's, or, you know, like 5 signs that he's a keeper, or like 21 signs you should leave him.
Wow.
So things
you
like that.
Yeah, you're definitely clickbaiting with them headlines.
Yeah.
You were BuzzFeed before BuzzFeed.
Exactly. I should have like capitalized on it. Yeah. So yeah, I was kind of doing that whilst doing my master's, whilst doing my my internship as well. It's really good to just get your name out there. When you kind of like Google your name, your website should come up.
I was going to say, I assume you're doing that just to build your writing chops and whatnot, but also just build a name for yourself.
Definitely, yeah.
Did you find a lot of opportunities were coming to you because of that, or?
Not really.
Okay.
No, it was.
So now that you know what you do know, sorry to interject for a second, Phoebe. So now that you do know what you do know, if people are starting out in a similar way that you did, you know, building their own blog, now it's usually vlogs.
Yeah.
What's the best way for them to capitalize or try and get the opportunities that they are seeking career-wise?
I think for me, the blog was never about getting a job
from it.
It was about creating a name for myself and owning my work. I think when you start doing these internships and you start working at these companies and say they let you go, or you know, after 2 weeks your internship is done, you've contributed to their bottom line. You've contributed to their SEO and their, you know, like traffic for that week, like website traffic for that week.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have a couple of things to show for it, but where do you put that? You have to put that on a website, or you have to kind of like have those collected somewhere. And I wanted people to be able to Google me and have some of my work come up and have some of my, to tell my own story of what I wanted to say about myself, rather than having someone else.
No,
tell
I
story.
Totally get that. It's almost like a bit of press clippings, a bit with the work
you've
done. You know,
exactly.
And where
people
get access to that is by going to your website or blog at a time.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's brilliant. That's fantastic advice. Interesting. So we are, is it fair to say that you are a journalist then?
Yeah.
Right?
I would say so.
But you're also a social media editor.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also a podcaster.
Yes.
We've spoken about your route into journalism.
Yeah.
Right. So how does social media come into play?
Well, I think when I was blogging, the other thing I wanted blogging to do was to get my followers up, which they call it like a vanity metric now, because you can have 1 million followers and then you post something, you tweet something, and there's no retweets. So that's why they kind of call it a vanity metric. But I think it shows that you have an engaged audience, you have people who are following you, you have some kind of like gravitas in that area. And I think that's really important. So I was kind of building up my Twitter following from doing these little blogging things. And I was always shouting about when I got, you know, like a Telegraph piece or a CNN article, I would always be the first one to like post on Twitter and say, hey, look what I did. And then I made great connections on Twitter. Through that, and I think that's kind of where I got my skills at tweeting and Instagram and Facebook and things like that. And then because the company I was working at, CNN, was so, there weren't many young people, I think that's fair to say, of a lot of like UK and US companies when it comes to media, you know, it's an older crowd. So when someone new, So when someone
really diplomatic here. I appreciate it. You know, you can really go in.
Full it's of an white older, men.
Don't
do
Reggie Yates out here.
It's an older group. So when you have the skill, you know, you can send a tweet and you know you need to shorten your link and you need to attach an image and how to use Twitter to get the best engagement, and no one else in the office does. Then you become an asset.
Yeah, it becomes very valuable.
And then you start shouting about, oh, you know, I could do that Twitter chat. You know, that's how I started out. I started hosting Twitter chats for CNN about different topics. And I was the only one who could be, like, bothered, really, because people see it as a chore. If you're not into Twitter, it seems like the most boring thing in the world to sit there and talk to people about a topic. But if you're the only one in the office that's willing to do it, then, you know, they're going to let you do it. And then they're going to let you continue to do that. And that's how I became social media editor at CNN, working on CNN Africa.
Amazing.
So that's how I got into it.
No, amazing.
And now I actually like it.
So, I mean, you are a Twitter lady, to say the least.
I love Twitter.
You got a blue tick, haven't you?
I have.
What?
Yeah. So verified. Yeah.
Verified.
Mm-hmm. That's
I'm
right.
In front of a celeb out here, guys. In front of a celeb. A Twitter verified celeb. So I guess the best practices insofar as using Twitter as a channel, let's say, as opposed to Facebook or any other, is whenever you do have your content that is, you might have a byline, anything that's out there that can be Googled, you do need to promote it. Like, yeah, what's, I guess, the best practices using Twitter to...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Grow yourself. Audience.
I think that you should never send the same tweet twice.
Okay.
The same exact tweet. In fact, Twitter didn't ever let you send the same tweet twice.
Really?
Yeah. You say you've tweeted this already. Stop.
Okay.
But I think you can definitely tweet the same content over and over again, but I think you should switch up in terms of like the visuals or the wording of the tweet or something like that. Because people do get tired of seeing the same exact thing. It comes like spam, and people don't like spam. People don't like ads on Twitter. It's seen as a place to go and really engage with people and talk to people and have like a natural communication that's not forced.
Right.
So I think when you see like, because I see it all the time, people, they're really passionate about getting that the same piece of content out there, but they're not getting the engagement because people have seen it before and they're not interested, or it looks like spam, it looks like an advert, and it's not authentic.
Mm.
I think you should always tweet in the way that you speak. If people are listening to your podcast and they hear you speak a certain way, that should always be the language that you use in your tweet.
I'm sure long-time listeners know what I do for a living, but Phoebe, you might not know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a digital marketer for a Google project. So I teach people how to grow their business online.
Okay.
And one of the things we talk about is how to use social media to grow.
Mm-hmm.
How best to describe it? Like, if you're a sociable person and someone wants to hear from you, someone likes you because you're relatable, you're authentic, you have everything of those, you know, adjectives, right? But also, it's not about yourself. It's not always me, 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 me.
Mm.
like you all have that friend, right? And if you don't have that friend, it's most likely you guys who's always talking about themselves.
It's you.
Yeah. So on that very note, it's like if you're only just ever talking about yourself and people won't engage in that.
Yeah.
So the notion of retweeting others, the notion of following them back and stuff helps.
Mm-hmm.
Do you specifically, because I know you probably, you've got more followers than you follow in, I assume.
Yeah.
What's your criteria for those who, that you do follow? Does one have to think about that, their positioning of who they follow and how that might be associated with their brand?
I think it's, you can tell the people who, if you follow like three people, I don't know. I mean, it depends. I mean, the Pope only follows himself in like different languages, which is goals. But
amazing. I did not know that.
Goals. Yeah, he follows like Spanish Pope and
I love that.
which is just like his tweets translated. So
only you would know that.
I think it depends on what you're trying to get out of Twitter. I think you get the best experience when you follow people who you are genuinely interested in. Don't just follow people because you want them to follow you back.
Right.
I've made some amazing connections on Twitter. Not only the Receipts Podcast girls, you know, if you listen, you'll know that we met on Twitter. And if I was only using Twitter to promote myself and not to hear from other people, we would never have started the podcast.
Right.
Because if you're only using it to promote yourself, you do, you know, you write your tweets. Or if you're using one of those like Buffer or any of those social media management tools, you go on there, you see what the reactions are and you come off. But I think the best Twitter experience is when you have like your few, you know, your group of people that you kind of check for. So a couple of women on Twitter that I always go on their feed and I see, okay, what are you doing at the moment? How can I like retweet it? Retweet takes literally 2.2 seconds.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you read their articles if they're journalists or you listen to their podcast and you, you know, you interact with them. Then when it comes to your time to publish something, they're going to be more likely to come along and
more inclined
and
to actually pay
read
forward.
Your stuff, exactly, because you've read theirs in a genuine way, not just okay, I'll retweet you and you'll retweet me. And then, you know, a genuine connection. Then I've met them offline and we've, you know, had amazing conversations and we've supported each other. And
I hear that. Okay, so Phoebe, you've mentioned Receipt Podcast throughout.
Have I?
Funny that. And I'm sure my listeners will be kicking me, and especially probably your fans, if we don't speak about Receipt Podcast. Are you tired of saying how you guys came together?
No, I will never get tired of talking about
this. Do many people know the story anyway?
People always ask us, but we've said it before. We say it in like every interview.
Do you?
We do.
Oh, God's sake.
I think people are still, they don't quite get how it happened, but... Taser Black, all good stories start with Taser Black. He is one third of Three Shots of Tequila, and their podcast was really, really popular, doing really well. And people kept asking them to either have a female guest or, you know, do something with women. And he said, oh, you know, jokingly, and we found out afterwards this was like a ruse. But at the time, he tweeted and said, oh, a female version of Three Shots of Tequila would never work. And people were kind of saying, yeah, no, girls aren't funny and da da da. And then Tolly was because they had met before, she said, you know, I've got the name, just get me the girls. Like, you know, we can do this. And then Taser tagged a few of us. Taser and I had had an altercation on Twitter a couple of days before. So he asked
What's it
him,
about? Do you mind me asking?
Oh, something about like Yoruba demons and Yoruba like demons. Nigerian men ruining your life. So
what? Wait a minute. What was your angle? Do they ruin your life?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
And he was obviously defending, but only speaking from personal experience, guys.
Wow. Yeah. Don't hesitate. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, that was my genuine belief.
Right.
I'm over it now. But yeah.
Okay.
So he tagged a few of us in who he thought would work really well together. We got an email chain going, and we met up for a drink, and Taser turned up late, but everything Taser does is like on purpose, but right, you don't realize it at the time. So he came, I think, like an hour or 2 hours late because he wanted us all to be there to bond among each other, and then he would come in and like see how it was going.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And we were like, we can't do a podcast. Taser was like, you've just spoken for 2 hours. That's exactly what the podcast is. Yeah, yeah. So it's fine. Then we did a pilot, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
We were just literally screaming.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's something, okay. So that's the birth of it, really.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And what's the plan for it? Because it is also a very popular podcast. And just speaking to you personally, and I hope you don't mind me being so brazen about to say, but it seems like your agendas are all very different to what it is you want to do. Like personal, professional goals.
How do you mean?
Well, insofar as, I mean, again, I can't speak on the others, but off record, we spoke about what's your play, and you really want to be in production, right? And potentially with the girls, if this does come to fruition, a TV show. But you'd rather be behind the scenes than in front.
I can do in front of the scenes? No.
Yeah, no, on stage.
On stage.
Or in front of camera, yeah.
Wow. I can be, when I'm with the girls, I can do on stage, whatever, cool. I would never be on stage by myself. That's just not really my area. Right. I'm much more of a, like, behind the scenes planning, production, organization, things like that. But it's funny because as the group, we need to be, you know, front of center. Someone offers us TV opportunities. Someone offers us interviews, like, that we can all go ahead and do that. But in terms of, like, my personal life, I'm a behind the scenes girl.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
But I think it's good to have that balance. If you have four, you know, on stage people, then it gets a bit crazy.
Yeah, you're different personalities. You don't want everyone who's so extroverted.
Yeah.
But the question, and this is me now starting to get a little bit inner.
It's fine.
Where?
That's what we're here for.
Excellent. Who makes the final calls and things? Because the impression I get, and again, this is just me, it's the impression I get is that you all want to be stars, respectively, you know, but you do realise that together you've come as a collective, so you will move together as a collective, but if an opportunity came for individuals, I think they'll snap it up.
I think we would all take opportunities that benefit us, as long as it's not at the detriment of the podcast.
Right.
And that's always been the way. Like, if Tolly gets invited somewhere, she's inviting all of us. If I get invited somewhere, we're inviting everyone. But then, of course, there's value in doing things by yourself. And then it's great to have people who support you in doing that. So if someone wants to go and do, like, this podcast, for example, you let everyone know and everyone is going to support you, because the bigger that we each individually get is the bigger the podcast gets.
Yeah.
So I think in some situations, in some, like, group projects, it kind of goes back to school, like group projects, someone wants to be the star and then that's at the detriment of the group.
Yeah.
When really we could have just supported each other and all shone in our different ways, because we're all so different. And that's kind of the beauty of it. That's why Taze is so smart, is because he picked people who were different to each other. We all have a different opinion on things. We all have different ideas of what we want to do. But we know that when we work as a group, we're so much bigger and better. If I started a podcast October 2016, yeah. Like, when did we start this?
Yeah.
If I started a podcast by myself 2016, I'm adamant that it wouldn't be as popular as the Racines.
Yeah.
I come pretty much sure of that.
Okay. Forgive me. I mean, I am a fan. I am. So where were we? We were talking about journalism, and you've hit that in the nail. And obviously you started working for CNN, and within CNN platform, you sort of navigated the space of being a social media expert, because no one had a desire, but also you smash it. That's what you've been doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then within that, that's how you also met your co-host for Receipt Podcast, exactly, and become one of the most popular podcasts in the UK. Is that fair?
I'll let you decide. I don't know. I don't want to be here blowing my trumpet.
Hey, hold tight. It's popularity. I'm not saying it's great. Now, Jake, it's great. It's fantastic. But it is, insofar as statistics go, it's one of the most listened to, without a shadow of a doubt. So congratulations.
I'll let you say that. Thank you.
There's no reason why wouldn't you say that. It is what it is.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess from my perspective, and this is Black Ticklet's perspective, are there anything that you think we haven't spoken about insofar as what people can do if they want to, say, for instance, get into journalism, if they want to get into social media editing? And forgive me, I'm not going to talk about if they want to become the next Receipt Podcast, because really and truly, there's a plethora.
Yeah.
And also, do check out the episode in which we did with Renee Richardson.
Yay!
who's a good friend of Phoebe. In fact, that's, I think, might be the only reason why you're here.
My favourite person.
That is the only reason why Phoebe's
I won't confirm or deny.
It is definitely true. I was not even on your radar, pun intended, without Renee. No, she's phenomenal. But do you guys, do check out that episode because it's really informative.
She gave some great advice. But one thing I will say that I think has really contributed to the success of the Receipts podcast that people don't really think about is hashtags. That's what we use on Twitter. We don't even have a Twitter account.
Right.
All of us have our individual Twitter accounts and then we use the hashtag to speak about the podcast. And I think that really works because you don't have to at anyone if you want to talk about the podcast. You just write your tweet and then you put the hashtag in and then everyone can see it. So I think, you know, I listen to a lot of different podcasts and I often see people speaking about the podcast, but I can't find those conversations because they're written at the handle instead of having a hashtag that everyone can go and everyone is used to going to and tweeting about. Because if you introduce a hashtag like halfway through, people are used to atting you, so they'll just continue to do it. And so no one has ever been able to at any Receipts handle because we don't have one.
Right, gotcha.
That's one thing I will say about podcasting.
Well, is there any other? I mean, sure. Whilst we're all about resources and advice.
Yeah, I think hashtags are really, and that comes for like social media as well. If you're working for a brand and they have a podcast or they have like a series that they do, lots of websites and magazines and things will have something they do every Monday, you know, a feature that goes out every Monday. Why not have a hashtag associated with that feature? And then everyone can go back and find all of those, and then people talking about it can find them.
That's some gems there. That's some actual gems there.
And it works on Instagram too.
Vogue, hashtag Vogue issue 21.
Yeah, and then everyone can go and talk about the new Vogue cover. Like that's, yeah. I think that's really smart personally. And I think visuals are really important with podcasting. People were drawn to the Receipts podcast, I think, because of the artwork. You don't see many people of color in the, whether you're doing Apple Podcasts or whether you're doing, you know, any of these podcast apps, you don't see enough, in my opinion, of people of color. And you're making it easy for people when you put either like a face or a hand or something like that, or, you know, words that signify this is by and for people of color. So I think that's important. And then having like all the information right there on the artwork, I think is genius, personally.
Honestly, never really thought about that at all.
Yeah, sauce.
Okay, so yeah, I am going to go to the quick fire questions, but there's a little segment I actually want to... You scared?
Yeah.
No, you pretty much know what they are. Okay. But I might just switch it up for you. It's all about paying it forward and, you know, talking about resources, tools, so people can actually do and use themselves. Mm-hmm. But is any UK businesses or product services that you use...
Give a shout out. It's a bit of a random one, but there's an amazing watch brand called VT London.
I said you own a VT London.
Yeah, I do.
Amazing.
Yeah. I came across them. I was writing a story about them. And then I was like, oh, I have to go and do this story. Boring. I had to interview this guy. I was like, oh, work. And then I actually got like really inspired by the founder, William, and he's great on Twitter too. So that's a great
brand
that I would
check him out, guys. No, Vita London, and I believe every watch that he sells, he then it goes to where?
So he works with a couple of charities. One of them is in South Africa, and he provides school uniforms. Well, the charity provides school uniforms. He gives the money from the watches that he sells.
Amazing. No, he's really inspiring, guys. So highly recommend. Yeah. I'd love to get him on a podcast.
He's amazing. He's also
noted, guys. You know, I'm sure we're gonna at you.
See,
but at you, put a hashtag. So you better come on, Will.
Hashtag VT London.
Okay, brilliant. This is normally my cop out question, but is there anything else that you feel like it's important for us to discuss that we haven't mentioned?
I think if we're talking about building a personal brand, I think people are really scared to do that because they think, oh, I don't do anything. You know, why do I need a website? Why do I need Twitter? You'd be surprised the amount of people that come up to me and say, oh, I don't tweet. I don't need it. Whether they're journalists or whether they're, you know, content creators of some kind. And I think it's really important to just like believe in yourself and build a website, build, you know, your Twitter account. Because then I see them look at big bloggers and big, you know, YouTubers and say, oh, how, you know, she doesn't do anything. How does she get all these followers and, you know, millions of subscribers? Because she built a website or she started a YouTube channel or she did something to get her name out there. You can't be scared of like taking selfies once, you know, now and again in front of a building or shouting about the talks that you do and the articles that you write. Just start, build a website, have your tabs in there, have a basic about page, contact page. If you're a journalist, a list of all the articles you've done, all the ones you're most proud of, you don't have to do all of them.
Yeah.
Start a Twitter account and just start shouting about yourself, because you can't sit there and be upset that this person's in like the Evening Standard having an article written about them if people Google you and they can't find anything about you.
That's genius.
Yeah.
And they do say the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
Mm. It's true.
Bank. There's something that you did write in which we haven't really covered, and I tend to shy away from it just because it can be quite
I'm so scared.
Provocative a little bit.
Oh, what did I do?
You're a big believer in your faith, God.
Yes. Okay, yeah, religion. I'm not scared anymore. Okay, yeah. I was like, what did I do you're gonna bring up?
Skeletons, so we'll start popping out the woodworks. Yeah. But no, I do tend to shy away from it because I've obviously got my own personal views on it. But how much of a big role has your faith played or impacted
the
decisions you make and
completely
everything?
Everything.
How so?
Because every time I go to do something or I'm offered an opportunity or whatever, I'll either go and find a scripture that relates to it or I'll pray about it. So in essence, every single decision I make is based on either what the Bible says about it or what God says about it, which is the same thing, actually. So what God says about it, either through his word or through something that he said to me. So I understand why a lot of people have a lot of skepticism about it.
Often the case, a lot of people tend to be quite narrow-minded and won't look at it from the other perspective.
Yeah.
So the fact that you understand why a lot of people might be a bit skeptical about it, what parts do you understand if you don't know?
I think we're so used to being able to see everything. Like we buy something and then it comes like the next day, you know, everything is tangible and everything is fast. And when you have to go and pray about something and it doesn't immediately literally drop down from the heavens next to you, you know, it's a discipline that we're not really used to having. We're not really used to having to have self-control because society, every time you turn on the radio, turn on the TV, it's like, do whatever you want, be yourself, be impulsive, go and buy this, you know, go and sleep with whoever you want to sleep with, and that's completely fine. So society and the media, which is the industry I work in, is kind of completely at odds with what the Bible says. So it makes sense, you know, when people look at me like I have two heads when I come out and say anything about God, and it's because you just don't expect that.
Well, keep at it. Yeah. I know you will do. You don't need me to say that to you. All right, you ready for the quick fire questions?
Oh, so scared.
No, you don't be. What are you talking about? So I love this question for just the purpose of wondering where your mind's at and what people might not potentially know you for. So if you could do a TED talk other than what your profession is, what would it be on?
It would be about the power of knowing the Bible for yourself. I know it's quick fire, but do I get to explain?
Yeah, you might have to.
So I think there's loads of things that society will tell you about Christianity that if you read the word, you would know are not true. So even something as so like trivial as there being three wise men, there were not three wise men. The Bible never says that there were three. There was just a group of wise men. So I know that's like a really silly example, but things like that where people have this view of Christianity that it's, you know, strict and it's miserable and it's, you know, terrible. But if you actually took a second to read, you would know for yourself. So we just believe what other people think without actually going and reading ourselves. And the problem, you know, there are some churches, and this is, people know this, that not every pastor is perfect. So if you go and you hear something in the church and you go and do it, if you don't have your own understanding of the Bible, you could be blindly following somebody who could potentially be leading you down the wrong path.
Yeah, no, 100% agree with that. Back to the quick fire round.
I'm ready.
You've got your last £5. What are you spending it on?
Oh, oh my gosh. What would I spend my last £5 on? Probably food.
Yeah. What will you buy with £5?
Like a jerk chicken meal, probably.
No, that's actually a decent price.
Yeah, I think it's usually like £5.50. So maybe I can like have a conversation with them, try and get them down.
You're literally going to haggle the last 50p.
It's okay. You can just like leave the coleslaw off. I'll sacrifice some of the rice. I won't, but yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. So Blackticulate, Black Action Articulated. What is your favourite English word?
No.
Come again?
No.
N-O.
Not that I won't come again, but yeah, no. My favourite English word is no.
Wow. Okay.
I just think I love saying no. It's just so powerful because I didn't ever used to say no. I always used to say yes. I used to want to be, you know, at work. Yes, yes, yes. I'll do this. I'll come in early. I'll work extra. And once you've proved yourself, once you know how much you're worth, saying no becomes really powerful.
Gotcha. Okay, so let me pretty much wrap up because I've now noticed the time. I normally ask all my guests this. How would you like to be remembered?
I'd like to be remembered as somebody who represented God and who helped people who look like me.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. It really does. And I can't imagine people who don't know you personally and also obviously professionally or just know you full stop don't already feel that way.
Yeah.
But that said, how can we find you on a world wide web?
Well, speaking of...
Okay. Let me laugh.
Oh, sorry. I was so ready. Yeah, see, media training is kicking in.
It really is kicking. And when we do find you, what would you like us to do?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I have a website, as I was talking about earlier, the importance of having your own stamp on the internet. So it's just phoebepark.com. And on Twitter and everywhere, I have the same handle, @PhoebePark. That's PhoebeParke. And when you get there, I would like you to tell me what you thought of this episode, good or bad or ugly.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Specific to this.
Yeah.
Not any job opportunities, anything like that. Maybe.
Well, if you ever need advice, my DMs are open on all platforms. So do DM me. I've said on previous episodes of the Receipts podcast, if you're starting a podcast and you need help in terms of like artwork advice or editing advice, let me know.
Amazing. Amazing. Guys, really and truly do take full advantage of Phoebe whilst we still have her. We're going to have you for a long time.
Thanks.
Decades. Half a century at very least. Okay, guys. As always, if there is anything that I did fail to ask her and you were like, you know what, Blackticulate, you really are slipping. You've got a great guest and you're just not representing the way you used to.
I don't think there was anything, but maybe.
But if there was, please do give me a shout because I will just throw it to her and hopefully... We might get her in round two to see when she's slaying with her TV show, TV production, Phoebe Park's Media House. Something along those lines. But Phoebe, thank you very much for coming on Blackticulate.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely.
Hey guys, we really appreciate you listening. And if you have any feedback, please leave it in the comment section below. Also, all the info about the guests, the links and the resources we speak about will be in the description below. And last but not least, please, please, please do get in touch if you can teach us how you do what it is you do. Because after all, Blackticulate is all about empowering and upskilling the community. Thanks, guys. You're the best. See you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.